dia 15 de fevereiro de 2023 e este é o episódio 235 do podcast Ubuntu Portugal, o show sobre Ubuntu, software livre e outras cenas. O meu nome é Constantino e eu estou aqui com o Miguel. Olá, Miguel.
Olá.
Não temos de novo Tiago Carrondo, mas temos dois convidados especiais e como um dos convidados, uma das convidadas, fala inglês, o resto do podcast vamos provavelmente falar um bom bocado em português e um bom bocado em inglês para facilitar a participação de todos.
Vai ser um podcast ao gosto do público habitual com bons, uma boa quantidade de anglicismos.
Exato. So, maybe Bernal would like to present herself first.
Hi everyone, my name is Bernal. I am newly arrived in Portugal from South Africa, so I've made this my new home. I've only been here a month, so you know, falo português ainda, desculpa.
Mas estava muito bom.
Sou José Calheiris, sou de Lisboa.
Nós hoje estamos na mini DevConf, uma conferência em dimensão mini dedicada ao Debian. Como eu gosto de dizer, a distribuição paizinha do Ubuntu. Não sei se concordas com esta avaliação.
Pai, mãe, eu diria que é uma distribuição irmã mais velha, vamos chamar-lhe assim.
Não sei, porque acho que aqui a promiscuidade é maior, porque uma deriva da outra, portanto...
Partilham um código genético semelhante e o Ubuntu usa uma quantidade enorme de genes do Debian, portanto... É complicado. Famílias, é aquela coisa.
Tá. Bernal, maybe do you want to tell us how you got here, how you got to Portugal and to the Mini DevConf as an organizer, since you are an organizer of the event?
Yeah, so Miguel asked me what gets me up in the morning, what's my driving force, and I think I would say that's frustration. I think I get frustrated.
So amazing.
Yeah, I think Miguel's like my new soulmate over here, which means we fought already once already. So I think partly it's like seeing that the world could work better and just being frustrated that it doesn't drives a lot of what I do. We've recently moved to Portugal because my partner Graham works for Ubuntu, for Canonical, and he's been a long time Ubuntu and Debian user, and that's partly how I got involved. But he works for Ubuntu now, and so we need to travel to Europe a lot for work, and so we thought, well, it might just be a great adventure to come here. And we were looking at which countries to move to and just came to Portugal, went to an Ubuntu meetup in Sintra, met Diogo and Tiago and the rest of the crowd and just made friends straight away and just fell in love with the place. So so we're here now. So I organize events. I think it's something I've always done. You see a problem and then you want to organize people to try and help you solve it. And a good way to do that is to organize an event or a conference. And also the way that I try to learn about things is to organize a whole event. So for example, before Graham and I were in a relationship, actually, I was frustrated because my Apple Mac computer at the time, this was like in 2009, was not working so well anymore. And I just couldn't justify the cost of buying a new one. And it just wasn't something that I... You know, it wasn't as nice as I thought it should have been. And then Graham said, well, why don't you try Ubuntu? Because I hated Windows. Like the first laptop that was gifted to me had Windows on it and I gave it back. I was like, I can't use this. This is terrible. And so he said, well, I'll try Ubuntu. And I tried it and I just loved it. So I'm still on Ubuntu now. And then over time, you know, seeing like Graham and I were good friends and then his friends were also active in Linux. And so we became part of the Linux Cape Town group in South Africa. And so over time, they were saying, well, they would just love to have a Debian conference in Cape Town. And then looked at me. And so I was like, okay. And I wanted to learn more about open source. And so I was like, well, this is a good way to learn about open source and free software and stuff. And so we organized the DevConf in Cape Town.
So wait, but they actually came to you to organize a DevConf then? Like we should organize something and they looked at you specifically.
Yeah, so this is sort of how my life works. I don't know if I'm just really easy to pressure into doing things, but or I just get excited very easily, but it was literally like that. Like, incidentally, Jonathan was one of the guys, and his nick is High Voltage, and he's the current Debian project leader. So the South Africans have pretty much taken over the show. But him and Graham and Tumbleweed, Stefano Rivera, also a very good friend. I think we were like having a beer or something. I don't know how this came about, but and I was there, and they were like, "Oh, wouldn't this be cool?" And the way I remember it, they were like, "So, Ranel, you do TEDx and you do this and you do this other thing." And like, I just went for beers with them and I ended up as like chair of like stuff. So I just get pulled into these things and then I end up running them. So I don't know how it works, but that's how it worked.
Yeah, but you forgot to mention that. Yeah, in fact, you mentioned that earlier, but you used to belong to the TED organization, right?
Yeah, so this is not the major international TED organization, but they've got this brand of smaller, independently organized TED events called TEDx. And what I liked about that is it's like a packaged event, and for a while it worked really well in getting people together. And so I really like that idea of having a little brand that you can just ship and go. So, but it's still very independent, it's still bottom up organized. So it didn't work for them, and I don't think I would.
Okay. Voltando agora aqui um bocadinho em português, Zé, tu és de Lisboa, portanto já sabemos como é que tu aqui chegaste, vieste a pé. Aliás, acho que trabalhas aqui no Instituto, portanto vieste mesmo a pé algumas dezenas de metros. Mas como é que te envolveste primeiro com o Debian e depois com a organização desta mini DebConf?
Bom, envolvi-me com a Debian há muitos anos atrás, quando queria aprender Unix e Linux, e descobri que a Debian era a distribuição que mais se aproximava daquilo que eu queria aprender a usar, que era ser um administrador, ser um utilizador do Unix, e foi assim que eu entrei na Debian há muitos anos atrás como mero utilizador. Quanto à relação da conferência, é assim, eu no técnico tomo conta de servidores Debian, e há muitos anos tive a oportunidade de ir à primeira DebConf, em 2007, em Edimburgo. E foi assim que eu comecei a me envolver mais com a comunidade, a conhecer as pessoas. E na última conferência, no Kosovo, disseram-me que a Brunel se ia mudar para Portugal. E como sabiam que eu queria organizar uma conferência de Debian em Portugal,
disseram-me
falar com ela. E foi assim que a coisa começou, esta mini DebConf em Portugal, foi porque eu no Kosovo disse olá a Brunel.
Muito bem, muito bem. Ótimo. Já agora, ainda não ouviu o público. Público, digam qualquer coisa.
Olá!
Espero, não sei se ouviu no microfone, porque está muito longe, mas...
O podcast de hoje é gravado com uma audiência ao vivo.
Não sei se as pessoas ouviram, podes falar mal. Normalmente.
O podcast de hoje é gravado com uma audiência ao vivo.
Pronto.
Temos que meter umas gargalhadas enlatadas aqui no meio.
Sim, sim, sim. Uma pessoa a levantar um papelzinho a dizer para rir.
Aplausos.
Funciona.
Laughter.
Yeah, it really works. Falaste da DebConf, qual é a diferença entre uma DebConf e uma mini DebConf?
Acima de tudo, tamanho.
Portanto, tamanho interessa. Como é que...
Isto está a correr muito bem.
Tá. Como é que foi a tua primeira experiência numa DebConf?
Bom, cheguei a Edimburgo como um mero participante de uma conferência vulgar, com aquelas, cheio de manias e de exigências, e deixei-me levar. Foi uma semana de palestras, foi uma das melhores conferências de Edimburgo. Tinha muita participação de empresas a patrocinar, porque estávamos à beira do estouro da bolha das dotcoms. Estava lá a Google, estava lá a Sun, ainda era a Sun. E comecei a conhecer, depois conheci gente, porque há um evento todos os anos que é o chamado Day Trip, que é o dia da viagem, que a pessoa vai conhecer a região, e dessa vez tínhamos de formar grupos de 5, salvo erro, por causa dos bilhetes de comboio para serem mais baratos, e eu fiquei a conhecer algumas pessoas, entre elas o... Ih, não me lembro do nome, peço desculpa. Conheci a pessoa e começaram-me a mostrar melhor o que acontecia à conferência quando... acabavam as palestras e se ia para o Night Venue, ou seja, o local onde as pessoas passavam a noite a trabalhar, e neste caso a jogar mal, um jogo também muito famoso de Debian, e fiquei a conhecer mais algumas pessoas, e foi aí que eu fiz os primeiros contactos para poder fazer upload dos meus primeiros pacotes Debian para a Debian.
Ok. Para quem não conhece, eu inclusive, como é que é esse jogo?
Bom, basicamente é um jogo que quase não tem regras, não se pode falar sobre as regras, não se pode falar durante o jogo, e uma pessoa tem que adivinhar as regras que os outros jogadores vão introduzindo à custa de pôr cartas na mesa e levantar cartas da mesa quando a gente falha.
Parece um desafio claramente interessante. Safaste-te bem no jogo?
No primeiro ano, sim. Não me safei nada mal para quem era principiante.
Ok, ok.
Qual é a tua experiência com... ou seja, foste a essa conferência em Edimburgo, depois voltaste com vontade de organizar qualquer coisa, ou vieste só naquela de, bom, isto foi giro, mas Deus me livre de tentar organizar?
Não foi isso que me passou pela cabeça. O que pela cabeça foi ver uma comunidade de gente, voluntários a trabalhar, a fazerem coisas, palestras muito interessantes, altamente técnicas. Eu na altura era especialmente um sysadmin e tinha que tomar conta de laboratórios com computadores que corriam Debian. E eu comecei a encontrar os meus primeiros problemas de pesado de software, que tinha perdido o maintainer, ou seja, que estavam órfãos, bugs, e então eu comecei-me a envolver mais com a necessidade de ter que atualizar pacotes Debian para o meu trabalho. E então, 2 anos depois, fui à Espanha, 2009. E foi a primeira vez que eu passei as 2 semanas na conferência chamada DevCamp e DevConf, em que o DevCamp é quando toda a gente se reúne só para estarem juntos, para conversarem, para partilhar ideias, para tomar decisões, e apanhei mesmo o bichinho. Nessa altura já tomava conta de 1 ou 2 pacotes, já tinha um sponsor, alguém que olhava pelos meus pacotes e me dizia se estava bem ou se estava mal. Trabalhei lá com ele em Espanha, que ele era espanhol. E foi aí que eu comecei a apanhar o bichinho de Debian. E comecei a ir no início de 2 em 2 anos. Depois foi Bósnia. Foi Bósnia 2011. Pronto, já começo a não me lembrar bem. Já foi. E nos últimos anos que eu estava no Tagus, gosto daquele ambiente, o ambiente do Tagus é muito acolhedor. Eu acho que os professores que vêm aqui da Alameda chegam ao Tagus e derretem-se. Com aquele ambiente ficam mais simpáticos, mais amigáveis. E comecei a pensar que aquele ambiente no Tagus era um bom sítio para organizar uma conferência. Não me lembro quando é que isto me passou pela cabeça, mas passou-me a passar pela cabeça. Uns anos depois, se eu me lembro, eu acho que foi Brasil. Não tenho a certeza agora quando é que foi a primeira vez que apresentei a primeira proposta de realizar em Debian. Nati, que é assim a pessoa que acolhe as pessoas todas na conferência, veio falar comigo. Veio falar comigo, não. Desalçou o desafio. Don't you want to organize a DevConf? E eu não saí aos berros, a gritar. Nem a puxar os cabelos da cabeça. E foi assim que começou. Porque eu já estava a trabalhar aqui na Alameda. E mandei o mail ao professor a perguntar-se qual era a ideia de organizar uma conferência da Debian em Portugal aqui no Técnico. Ele disse que sim.
Portanto, aquilo que te empurrou um bocado nessa direção e também para te encontrares com a comunidade e começares a trocar ideias e a interagir com essas pessoas todas, o DevCamp, etc., foi a necessidade de resolver um problema, no fundo. Tu tinhas necessidade de ter mais conhecimentos, de arranjar soluções, etc. Isso foi um bocado o que te empurrou, ou não?
Sim, foi. Foi o facto de eu estar a usar Debian, encontrar problemas, submeter reportes de problemas para a Debian e de encontrar problemas que eu precisava de ser resolvido, que eu sabia resolver ou que precisava de ajuda de alguém.
Ou precisavas resolver melhor. Porque uma das coisas que reparei na comunicação que fizeste hoje de manhã sobre pacotes Debian é que tu tens já uma série de truques e recursos e pequenos detalhes que não são necessariamente fáceis de adquirir para quem está a começar, que tu já dominas e já pões aqueles pequenos detalhes na organização do trabalho que te permitem depois ser muito mais eficiente e muito mais rápido e até a prevenir problemas e, sobretudo, gostei imenso do detalhe que tu, do ênfase que tu puseste na necessidade da documentação. Documentem, 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 documentem. Isto é algo que se adquire com experiência, claro, mas também com quando tu tens de trabalhar em equipa e tens de trabalhar com a comunidade e queres integrar pessoas da comunidade e trazê-las também para contribuírem, e sem documentação não é possível. E isso faz parte desse movimento dinâmico. Porquê é que eu estou a falar disto? Porque, agora vou ter que virar para os anglicismos num instante. Bernal had also a very interesting discussion with everyone. She had a presentation going on, which kind of relates to what we were talking about right now, which is how to become a DD, Debian developer. And she also puts a great emphasis on the need for proper communication, and above all, how do you motivate people to join the community? What drives them? And we were discussing this right now, which is José, for example, was motivated in a way, like most of us, I think, to solve a specific problem or solve a collection of problems. And that, in my view, seems to be the most effective way to propel people into wanting to join community and contribute and so on. Because in the end, you end up not just trying to find a solution for your problem, obviously, but you feel motivated, thanks to, you know, sometimes positive feedback, to actually want to give something back. So do you have any comment on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I think the best way to get into Debian is if you have an itch that needs scratching, if you have a problem that needs solving. Because even if you just want to contribute, it's a bit like jumping into the sea. You don't know where you want to go. So starting with something that you want to achieve, and that could be technical, it could be social, it could be more from a governance perspective, whatever. But you need a clear need for that. And I think Debian is a great community to join because there's very niche interests, and so it may be hard to find the person that can share your interest and contribute to you. But once you have found that person, there's someone there, and sometimes it feels like the only person in the world that cares about this really arbitrary thing also, you know, that you also care about is there. So for example, in Kosovo, I was pitching this idea that I've been working on for a couple of years, and just not sure if anyone in the world cares about this. It's so arbitrary and out there, and like, whatever. And then one of my friends, actually, who didn't really listen to this idea before, because he was like, look, Brunel, you're in your corner. You do, like, I don't care. But then when I explained it, he was like, oh, actually, you know what? This really links well with this other idea that I'm really passionate about. And we found that small area of overlap, which is about solid data, linked, federated data, and started working together on that, you know, and that was completely unanticipated and just magic, and just really helps to have someone who goes, you know, I don't care about 99% of what you care about, but this one thing, that's really where the minds meet. And so that is an entry point into the project. And so I think that's really awesome.
By the way, we already know what José does for a living. What do you do?
The short answer is I have no idea. So I'm trained as a bioprocess engineer, and then for about 10 years I worked in research on sanitation and how to, you know, make things more sustainable and work better and clean our water. And that's just basically depressing. And so eventually I just became disillusioned with research because of the type of knowledge that we generate doesn't seem to help everyday people when there's a real drought or a real flood, you know, and like we have these big plans that's 20 years down the line, but we can't help people now and next week. And so I was like, this is not good. I don't want to be part of something that doesn't help the people on the ground. And so I quit academia and moved out to a farm and just basically quit everything. And incidentally, this was during the pandemic as well. So it felt like the whole world just quit with me, which was cool, like a reset button. And so then I decided, well, how do I help communicate these very complicated issues, you know, these challenges that academics struggle with, to everyday people? And so that started with data visualization using JavaScript libraries. So at the moment I'm sort of doing research on my own and really just being a bit of a glorified housewife, which means I have a lot of free time to organize social events and debconfs. But then I also want to combine that with virtual reality and augmented reality, because I think the stuff that we deal with is so complex that it doesn't work in a 2D environment. And so I want it in 3D and in virtual reality. And so I'm maybe one of the very few people who's excited about the metaverse. And so I'm working on that.
The two presentations that we had at this mini DevConf were really interesting to you.
Yes, I actually begged Vertim to come here. So Verta is like an open source virtual reality platform, and so it doesn't have the challenges that, you know, the things that made us disillusioned and just tired about the metaverse because of the recent media hype. Verta takes all the good bits and none of the bad bits. My fellow Debian friend that I was mentioning just now is also incidentally very excited about this project, not because of the visual stuff. He doesn't care about that. He doesn't play games. He doesn't like VR, but he loves the way the project is structured, and he can see how that can benefit him in completely different ways that we never thought about before he started talking to the Averta guys.
So it's cool. Now it makes more sense, the comment that you made while we were looking at that crazy map. So what took to make this mini DevConf?
So when we started organizing this, we talked about it in Kosovo, and that was in August last year. And then I think by November, Graham and I visited you and we looked at the venue. And so it sort of started in November. And then I was moving out of a country, you know, so it was sort of a bit crazy. And then at some point, I think maybe a month ago, I was sitting there and I was thinking, I don't know if I can pull this off. I'm in South Africa, like, I don't have anything around me. I'm about to leave. Like, I don't feel at home. I don't know what I'm doing. And then I was like, but do you want this? Like, do I, Brunel, want this? And I'm like, of course I want this. I want to see my friends again. You know, like, can we do this? And so I thought, Jose sorted the venue out. We've got good internet. Those are the things you need. So I booked an apartment. And I, like, at that point, I was like, I'm just going to, you know, if nothing happens, if nobody shows up, I've got an apartment in Lisbon. I'm going to do this, you know. And then we said, look, are we going to do this? And Jose said, yes, we're going to do this. And then we started inviting people. And then, you know, whenever you see someone and you start chatting to them on IRC or somewhere, then you're like, well, do you want to give a talk? Like, I bugged you, Diogo, to give a talk. And, you know, Jose submitted 3 talks and I submitted 2 or something talks, because it's like at least someone's talking. And then other people started submitting, and then it just sort of created itself. And then I was like, oh, are we going to live stream? I was like, I don't know if we're going to live stream it. And we ended up not live streaming it. But then we spoke to other people and they were like, well, you know, if you want to record it, at least that other people can see it afterwards. And so I bought the equipment and I got some budget from Debian. And then I was like, I don't know how to use this. So I had this equipment and I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. But then we showed up and then Wiki showed up and he was like, well, I run Portacodes and I also use this equipment. So I was like, great, will you do this for us? And he was like, oh, fine. And so thank you, Wiki. And so people just, you know, and Jose on his side, I think you got in touch with your people and they did stuff as well, like Sophia and Anna. I don't know if you want to mention them and what they did with food and stuff.
I've been pestering people around me about helping organizing a DevConf. This time everything fits in place. This time things was working, like nowhere, like didn't wear on the other times. So this time I asked the help of, we have some students that work with us, like Sofia and Pedro Chaparro. I invite them, and they are offering me to help. So it was both directions, not just me pestering people, was people pestering me, I want to help. For example, there are people that didn't only help here, they could not help me during the preparation, like Luis Lopa. He was all helping me organizing things.
And I just also want to say thank you to Urbek, who just came along because he loves DebConf and then helped transcribe and edit the videos and uploading them. And so what I think the point that we're trying to make is it's not a formal professional thing. You decide you're going to do it and then you sort of, you know, whenever somebody asks you, well, where it's going to be, you're like, and then you organize where it's going to be. And they're like, okay, what are we going to eat? You're like, and then you figure out what you're going to eat, you know. So you just, it's a very disorganized, I guess, but a natural way. And so everyone sees this and it's much more informal and casual and intimate, I think. And that's how it happens. So, and I think that's the better way of happening.
It reminds me a bit of the style of the bar camps, self-organized events where people just improvise as they go. They decide it as a community and then do it well.
Yeah, and about what to eat, it's basically just bacalhau all the time, so no worries.
Yeah.
And just one more comment in the welcome talk. I said, look, this is volunteer organized. So one, be nice to us. Like, I have no professional mandate to be nice to you if you're not nice to me. But secondly, if there's something that's missing, tell us. And if there's something you really want and you're willing to help us do it, then let's do it. You know, whatever that is.
Yep, that's the spirit. It also reminds me of the Ubuntu code of conduct. You have to be nice to other people. I guess all codes of conduct have that.
Yeah, in the last episode, we mentioned the rules for that wiki page, Don't Break Debian, which I found fabulous. So it's kind of rules for life. That's what it is.
So, Brunel, you had at least one presentation. What was it about?
Okay, maybe give me the schedule. So Jose gave some really nice presentations. I did not know you speak so well, Jose. Like, you're so shy.
Thank you. I don't know how it sounds to the other people. I need feedback from other people.
So. Yeah. So in the beginning, he gave a talk about why Debian. And I think we both, so my talk also was like, why Debian? But you focused on the very technical aspects, like how does Debian differ from other distros and your journey to it, which I just found, I don't think I've seen a talk that so clearly showed, you know, the progression and the difference between them. So I really like that. I think the next day I gave a talk about why would you want to be a contributor to Debian, and the reliability and the flexibility, which is someone here actually said that. I was quoting them, you know, Debian is so reliable and so flexible, which is like the two things you need from life. And the community, I think, is just this, you know, I've met a lot of communities. I'm a generalist, and it's just Debian is the community that I keep coming back to. And the other one was upstream first, which is, you know, Ubuntu packages gets uploaded to Debian first. So,
yeah.
Obviously, the Overta presentations I was very excited about. I think he gave really good stuff. Markos gave really good talks. The one was a wiki workshop with the every second Monday every month there's a workshop on how to edit wiki pages and get involved there. And then he also, yeah, so that one was Wiki Loves Música Portuguesa, and the other one he gave was I Love Free Software Day, which was on Valentine's Day, and I think that's a much better use of Valentine's. So that was really awesome as well.
Yeah, Maradu can make anything sexy, to be honest. I mean, I was delighted to hear his talk, and I was like, oh my God, I feel so horny right now. No, obviously not. Yeah, but no, you can tell that his enthusiasm and his passion is like, you can feel that. Yeah, it thrusts enthusiasm towards you. Yeah. Oh, definitely, yes. I'm glad I'm sitting down. Anyway.
Is this going to get edited out?
Not usually. We in Portuguese, we say descambar when this takes the wrong turn. Mm-hmm. Okay, so yeah, get used to that. So.
Side quest.
Exactly.
Okay. And you, Jose, can you give us maybe an abstract to your presentations?
When Brunel asked me to do some presentation, I was thinking, okay, we don't have content, we have to do something. I started thinking, oh, what I can talk about easily. because I'm not a person to speak very much, to give talks, that kind of things. But this time I was thinking, oh, I can talk about three things. How I started on open source. Another thing is that I use JIT and Subversion as a way to manage my home directory. This came from a very old article that I've read many years ago that I found very interesting. And because they were not updated for Git, I was thinking, oh, maybe it's a good time to do an update and explain what I am doing. And the third one is my experience doing private package, because when I was on campus Tagus Park and I managed several computers and one multi-user server, and I've learned very much how to do private package, and it was a good introduction on how to do proper Debian package.
Can I continue with more talks and things?
Yeah, sure.
So I'm looking at Paula Simush, is that, yes, who's like a powerhouse from the back, and I think contributes a lot to opinions generally, and probably also to Mark Horsch's sexiness, if you want to call it that. And I think what Paula and I share is this passion for community. And then Wiki in the back, they spoke about running Porto codes and his challenges and highlights from the last 10 years. And so my other talk was about this, you know, how do we build this community? And a comment on Mastodon was like, well, you don't integrate the community, you integrate into the community. And I was like, I get that, but there's also a splintering, you know, you can belong to Ubuntu, you can belong to Linux, you can belong to this, you know, community and that community and that community. And there's a lot of overlap, but it's sort of like, as a non-IT technical person, I don't know where to start, you know. And so I feel like that's a common thread. And I was so enheartened to hear about FSFE and what they do, actually, in more detail than I've ever done before. And the different interest groups that's out there, and that there are things that we can build on and make stronger. And so I think that was a real highlight for me of this mini DevConf. Thank you, Paula.
And José, so far, what was your highlights of the mini DevConf?
It's working.
It is.
It's working. It's amazing. Seeing people getting together and talking like a real DevConf, just smaller.
Yeah, I really, really enjoyed the... I keep having this discussion with Diogo and Tiago as well frequently on the podcast. I can hear some people complaining about, oh, but the community sometimes can be a bit nasty and there's a lot of vitriol and stuff like that. And I keep saying I do not have this experience at all.
Because you're the one causing it.
Maybe, but no, I do have a very positive experience with the community. It's very welcoming and inclusive, and people are so cool about, and they're so, I mean, I feel there's a lot of love in the air, is what
I
mean.
Yeah, but there's a reason for that. You are not engaging with the community online.
Probably, I don't know.
You go to events, in events when people are face-to-face, and usually even the people that are predisposed to go to events, those are the nice ones, and those are the ones that do the real work, usually. I mean, it's true that there are others that are doing other things and very useful, and lots of work also, and don't have the means, or for some reason, there's something blocking them to go to events. But usually the people that go to the events are the people that are, like you describe, welcoming and nice.
Yeah, I was just reading an article today about why Mastodon isn't that terrible online space yet. And it was about the federated spaces, not commercial, that it, you know, and that it's moderated. And I think the passion may represent itself as vitriol, you know, that is people who's just really passionate about a technical aspect. But I mean, if I can call you out, you're like, and we laughed about this and we sorted this out, but when I just joined the Ubuntu Portugal group, like one of the first things, maybe Miguel made a joke, right? But I didn't know where it was coming from, and I felt really hurt because you just come in and here's this guy just shouting at you for being like, you know, I don't know, a digital nomad. I was like, but I know. And I was really scared to meet him in person, you know. And then he arrived at the Mini DevConf and I didn't know it was him. And we had this fat chat and I was like, wow, that's a cool guy. And then only like 3 hours later did I realize that that was the grumpy guy. And I was like, oh, wow. You know, so meeting someone in real life is really different. But I have to also say, I do know a lot of communities, and there's something special about, I think, particularly the Ubuntu Portugal group. I've just so enjoyed being part of your group, both in real life and online. So I do think you have something special specifically here. And then I wanted to say another thing about a conference. So I have this very very scientific measure of when a conference works well, and it has to do with the noise. So if you have a very loud room where it's like it hurts your ears, then those people are probably either frustrated or drunk, or, you know, it's like it's not a nice noise. You know, it's like very loud and sort of grating. And that's not ideally what you want. And then on the other hand, you can have something that's very quiet, and it means people are just looking for a polite excuse to leave. But then you have the golden middle where there's this like murmur, this just this like constant low-level noise, which means people are really talking. They're really engaging about the deep stuff. They're problem-solving. They're really productive. And for me, every day at this MiniDevConf was like that. And I don't know what magic caused that, but it is amazing. I have literally goosebumps right now.
Whoa. Yeah, that's pretty much what I felt as well. Yeah, definitely. So there's that. I don't know if it's a cultural thing or the fact that well, let's face it, we are few. Okay, we have only a few people joining the community, and it's a niche segment of society, I would say, because it's not something massified or anything like that. So that helps, right? To build a sense of, you know, a tight-knit community of people that have at least common goals or common ideals about how to organize society in a way. And you get a lot of that. Even every open source movement is driven by this, even if not directly connected to software. Apropos, sorry for the Galicism, I've met some, quite by accident today, we had the opportunity to meet some students here from IST from something called the Hacker School, hackerschool.io. And oh my God, they're brilliant. They're so nice. And they're amazing. They already have a group of 60, 70 people who do hacking on a regular basis. And they have this very crummy small lab where they create stuff, and at this point they've created a smartwatch from the ground up and stuff like that. So I would definitely invite everyone to visit their website and get in touch with them, because they're just kids. Well, they're not kids. I mean, they're 20 years old. They're adults, yeah. But
they're
still
younger kids.
Compared to me, anyone's a kid anyway. So no, but I was amazed. I mean, they're such nice people, and you can feel their enthusiasm and the way they talk about their projects and everything, and have a very clear mind as well about what is the concept of the four freedoms of open source free software, and they're so lucid about this. I mean, I was very optimistic after I've met them, because I was. Yeah, just amazing.
I did not have the opportunity to meet them as much as you did, but from the short period that we had the conversation, I really enjoyed it, and I really think they have a very interesting project there.
Yeah, I mean, the kids are all right. It's fine.
I suppose on that, it was just a very funny thing. So they came in this morning, two students, I think, and one older a person who used to be active in Debian, and then sort of, you know, life happened. I think it was Tiago who said, so, you know, they introduced themselves and they're like, oh, I'm 20 years old. And then at some point Tiago was like, yeah, and I also studied at IST before you were born.
Yeah, that was lovely. Yeah.
And so, like, this is the community, you know, it's like right across all ages. It was very funny.
Ainda mais um dia mais ou menos um dia de atividade, o que é que ainda podemos esperar aqui nestas horas que nos restam da MiniDevConf?
Bom, acho que está-se aproximando uma das partes mais interessantes, que é quando há menos palestras e as pessoas se reúnem para trabalhar, para conversar, para partilhar ideias, para partilhar problemas, pedir ajuda. Eu acho que é isso que ainda vai poder acontecer. Não sei. Cornel?
Mm-hmm. What do you think we are still going to get from this mini DevConf until the last few hours?
Well, so we still have all of tomorrow, and I think we've had talks and socials, and now we're like bug squashing, and I see a lot more people grouped and huddled around a bunch of computers. But it's also time for a bit of letting our hair down. So tonight we have a photo social event, and then it's the social dinner where we, you know, really might let our hair down. I don't know how that's going to go. So we might be not fully productive tomorrow morning. and then I think we're also doing some Portuguese traditional music tomorrow afternoon. But yeah, it feels like at the, you know, you're just getting into the swing of things and then you have to leave. So it feels like the last day is always fully, you know, on board and that where the real fuzzy connections get made.
You know, I was looking at the schedule here and it seems that tomorrow we're going to have a talk about Learn GNU Linux and Free Software Hands-On with someone called Diogo Costantino. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing this right.
I don't know who he is.
Yeah.
I have no idea. Yeah, it's a presentation about one of the projects I've been more recently involved, Centro Linux, which is something that I proposed to the Ubuntu community in Portugal to kickstart. I'll give more details on the presentation tomorrow. Otherwise,
alrighty.
I think there's a point to do it. It will be a short one, but I think it will be one that might create new opportunities to the community, to the Linux community, to the free software community, to the free culture community, and also to the Debian community, which I think has a real potential to strengthen itself here in Portugal. And to do more things more times.
Can I just say, I don't know if someone tells you this enough, but you are such an inspiration and you have such a vision. And like, you're my hero.
And that's a mistake. Nobody should have heroes. I'm against the heroes.
Okay, take the hero bit back. You're just...
Thank you.
There's going to be alcohol tonight, right? During dinner.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So, you wait and see.
I swear this time I will not sing.
No, we have to sing. Can we sing now?
No, don't.
No, not enough vocal so far.
Don't
so.
Encourage him.
What was it? Come to me. What was the song you were singing from?
There's also Come to Me. Yes,
with a
from,
angry guy.
Yeah, it's the from the Prodigy. Yeah.
Yeah, so we should not sing that now.
No. I don't remember the lyrics. I remember parts of it, but not everything. Okay. After MiniDevConf, what will come?
I don't know. It's time to do the wrap up. See what it went. Doing what. Talk between us what to see what went well and what was wrong, and maybe prepare a next MiniDevConf. Having an idea of trying to find the right venue, the right place to have the big DevConf.
That's interesting and promising.
Is that kind of like an UbuCon but with Debian, something of the kind?
I don't know, maybe it's better to explain what is an UbuCon. Mm-hmm. So the UbuCon, the definition that is or was in the wiki is that there is a community-organized conference to celebrate Ubuntu and its community. So there, it is not a very narrow description, and this has allowed us to do lots of different things and has even become vacation venue for families. So I felt a little bit of that at this mini DevConf. Maybe not as much because it's mini, but for the descriptions that the QA mentions, it's not very dissimilar from DevConfs.
Maybe I never was in the Ubuntu Con, so I don't know what difference are. Because I'm not the right person to tell this, but people feel there are some difference between Ubuntu people and Debian people. And maybe it's not, maybe because one of them is a group of volunteers that gathers all the niche people that exist in the world to Debian community. is one of the community's more varied, I have to know.
Yeah, there's a reason why it's called the Universal Operating System.
I can't wait to read the comments on this one.
So I think when we were walking back from dinner the other night, I said that you could be with the Ubuntu community and they're more like socially adept, you know, they're like, they present better, you know, they might wear a suit sometimes. And I mean, you know, look at Miguel and look at Diogo, they sort of look presentable, whereas the rest of us, yes, you know, you look sharp, whereas the rest of us look like we've gone and disappeared into a bush for 3 weeks and only just re-entered society, except that that's how we always look. But I think with...
But you remember about Tiago.
Oh yeah, no.
He's a surfer boy. but then I said, look, you can hang out with the Ubuntu community and that'll be fun, but you'll get bored. And then you might hang out with the Debian community and be very interesting, but you might get angry because everyone has opinions. So I think there is a decent amount of overlap, but yeah, they do. But I think that's a very good description that you said about UbuCon. Debian conference is officially organized by the Debian project, but because we're all community and we're all volunteers anyway, it sort of defaults to that as well. So I think the ideologies might be slightly different. The people attending might look slightly different, but it sounds like there's a lot of overlap.
Maybe someone from the audience has something to comment about DebConf and what was their experience here. So someone wants to chime in? Gerard? Okay. Gerard, come forward. It's harder for us to get there. So for those that don't remember, Gerardo has been on our podcast a couple of times. He's the president of the Open Source Business Social Alliance, yes. So tell us, what has been your experience at MiniDevConf Portugal?
Oh, I really enjoyed it. I really like when the communities come together, and I wasn't aware that we already had so many people forming a Debian community here in Portugal. And I hope that we can have more, not a mini DevConf, but at least more workshops, more meetings of this community, and that entices more communities of the open source. Ubuntu community doesn't need this. They already have their meetings set up, but there are lots of other communities. And I suppose the Red Hat community, Fedora, the SUSE communities, just to speak of the distributions, they all join together and try to also organize a few meetings.
So you were talking to me about the GLAMs, the cultural GLAM?
Yes, galleries, libraries, archives, and museums. I'm personally trying to get them to organize a few more open meetings like this, and there seems to be some interest in doing.
Yeah, it was so great talking to you, Gerardo, and I would love to see more like cross-community events and like fun things that's also like cultural but also tech and also like all these things, you know, it'd be so cool.
You were talking about the hacker school here in the Instituto Superior Técnico. They actually, I just saw their page, they actually have a few projects where they do this cross-pollinization, so they have a few that mixing technology and arts.
Yeah, and what I find most interesting about them is that they really do practice and promote a culture of not just open source software, free software, but also hardware as well, and they combine them together, which is like key for, you know, get things going.
Yeah, and to complement something that Gerardo said, this year we had a new instance of the librarians and archivists open source event. So I think this is something that is picking up, and hopefully there will be many more of it, and hopefully that we'll have more MiniDevConfs or something else with Debian where the Ubuntu community can get a bit more involved, because Debian is the foundation for Ubuntu, so we'll have a very big interest that Debian drives.
So I think while other members of the audience want to come and give feedback, I just also want to say what I want out of this. And there was a scientist here who gave me some links about visualizing models in virtual reality. And so at some point, maybe later in the year or early next year, I would like to have a workshop about open source and virtual reality combined with science like hydrology and whatever sort of, so bringing science and the cool things that we normally associate with gaming together. So that's something I would like to see happen. And if you're interested, please contact me. Quick plug.
Links in the comments.
Yeah, so thank you for having organized MiniDevConf here in Portugal. It's great to have this happening here finally. I'm Marcos Marazo. I've been here in the podcast before, speaking in Portuguese, now in English. I just wanted to use this opportunity to also point out that there's always more stuff happening and coming up, and inviting everyone listening to the podcast or here to show up to the next stuff that is happening. And there's always something coming up. On the end of March or beginning of April, there's going to be the Portuguese Wikimedia conference here in Portugal. It's going to be in Lisbon, actually. And for someone who likes data and data visualization, there might be something for you in there. So go and check it out. And yeah, basically that's it. There's always more to come. It's great that more people get involved in these sort of meetings. And I really hope that we keep this momentum going. And I hope to see more and more gatherings and events all over the country going on and happening.
So adding to what Marcos was saying, there are plenty. I think this year we'll have a lot of events here in Portugal. We tried and organized actually some events to celebrate the Internet Day last year. We might do this again this year with more organizations involved. That will be somewhere in May. I don't remember the exact date. There will be also every month an event at Centro Linux. So that's you can propose events. We have already one big part of the we here planned. So, but we might expand a bit more because there has been demand. There has been a lot of participation, so we might have the opportunity to expand from half a day of activities maybe to an entire day and do more than one topic and or work more on that same topic. And then we are also preparing more and bigger stuff towards the second half of the year. So stay tuned and ask us if you are a member, organizer of a community advocate, get in contact with us, because it's possible that there is something that might interest you.
A propósito, eu lembrei-me que no dia, creio que na semana que vem, 25 de fevereiro, a Hacker School aqui do Técnico vai organizar um evento.
Eles vão estar presentes no evento.
Vão estar presentes no evento que é Maker.
Maker Faire, que vai ser de 24 e 25 no aplicativo do Beato.
Ah, é isso. Links nas notas.
Yeah, por acaso escapou-me completamente que iria acontecer um Maker
Sim,
Faire.
Sim, já para a semana. Infelizmente, quando isto for para o ar, se calhar já não vai a tempo.
Não, isto ainda vai. Não, calma, isto. Sim, ainda vai, porque a gente, se o Tiago publicar isto na data certa, ele vai a tempo.
Que bocas. Ok.
Ok. Estamos a chegar ao tempo limite que nós temos. Quero só aproveitar para agradecer ao público, ao Marcos que participou também, em particular, e ao Gerardo, também ao José. José, onde é que as pessoas podem encontrar o que tu fazes, entrar em contacto contigo?
Boa pergunta. Não sou uma pessoa de publicitar muito, por isso podem encontrar o meu blog, blog.calheiris.com e eventualmente aí procurar o meu nome no Google e procurar outras coisas que eu faço. Não sou uma pessoa a publicitar muito, mas...
Ok, obrigadíssimo. Anil Bernal, where can people find you on the internet and get in contact with you to pressure you into organizing more events?
I think I'm Indie Bio in most places, so that's indie, like indie rock, or, you know, indie independent, whatever, and bio, biology, Indie Bio, and I'm on IRC, Twitter, Mastodon, Mattermost, Telegram, Matrix, running on Element. My blog is indiebio.co.za or .com, I think. But yeah, I think most places IndieBio, except for the startup in San Francisco somewhere, that's someone else.
Não, eu só queria acrescentar que graças a esta mini DevConf, eu cedi finalmente e vou experimentar KDE no meu computador por pressão da Paula e do Marcos.
Yeah, just another roundup of applauses to the organizers of the event, which very much deserve it.
Depois o nosso engenheiro de som depois faz copy-paste da faixa dos aplausos para durar assim 5 minutos e depois põe os efeitos sonoros de uma ovação e tal. Fica um recado.
É isso. Pronto, resta então dizer que este show é produzido por mim, Diogo Constantino, pelo Miguel, pelo Tiago Carrundo e editado pelo Alexandre Carrapiço, o Senhor Podcast. E até para a semana.
Até para a semana.
Bye bye.
Bye. Adeus.